And welcome back to Wisdom and Extra, where we take an authentic look into life's personal journeys, acquired wisdom, and what makes us a little bit extra. My name is Austin, recording from the Blue Gorilla Studio in Jupiter, Florida, and I am joined by my amazingly talented co-host, the insightful, the wisdom-filled, our own coffee pot of extra herself, Joni V.
Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Joan. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm super excited that you're here today on Wisdom and Extra.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, of course. So we have Anne Desormier.
Yes.
Who is here from Elder and Estate Planning in through Palm Beach County and Treasure Coast.
That's correct.
She is an attorney for, I guess, for the last 37 years. And she has a very broad range of law experience, I would say.
Yes.
And we have so much to talk about today. So I want to just kind of brief you on, well, you know, where we're going to go with this conversation. So I'm very curious on how you got started. And I know that you're a great storyteller, and I'm pretty sure that there's a story behind this. But then I want to know your take on some of the more, you know, stuff that's happening right now, you know, like the Free Britney movement, right? And then we've got the show that I just watched the other night called I Care a Lot. Did you see that show?
No.
All right. So we're going to come back around because there's all this stuff happening right now. And I think it's so on point to have you here today.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Super. So let's just start with your story.
Yes.
So tell me, what inspired you? How did you get started? Well, like, why are you an attorney?
Well, originally, I wanted to be a teacher. Okay. And I'm the fourth of five children. And my oldest brother comes home from college, couldn't find a job. And when he did, it was only paying $9,000 a year.
A year.
So I looked at my dad, and we always watched Perry Mason together. So I looked at my dad, and I said, I want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be a teacher. Richard couldn't find a job. So he goes, oh, would you like to be my lawyer in my roofing business? I said, of course. Ah. So since age 13, I plotted my way to get good grades in high school, go to a good school that had a good base for pre-law, and then ended up going to Boston University for law school.
Great school.
Shout out to BU. That's my original area.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Go Red Sox. And and what happened was my first year of law school, my father calls up. It was March 1982. And he says, I'm liquidating the business. I can't do
this. So wait, you were in school when he called you?
I'm in law school.
You're in law school.
Okay. I'm in law school. Go ahead. And he says, I can't do business on a handshake anymore. So, of course, my reaction was, oh, my gosh, now what do I do? So they were retiring to Florida, so I came down to Florida and established my address here.
Okay.
And then I was going to be an estate planning attorney because that's what people do in Florida, right? Lots of retirees. And my first job was a trial lawyer, litigation attorney.
Your first job?
My first job as attorney.
Wow.
And I was very good at it.
I can see that.
Yes. So what ended up happening is I transitioned when I got divorced from a trial practice, which required me to be out of the house and the office a lot, to a more transactional practice. So I got into elder and estate planning, but ended up still do, you know, pick and choose my trials that I want to conduct.
So then how, so on the elder care stuff, so I find this very fascinating in that it's so relevant today.
Yes.
Right? Because when you think of elder care, like you're thinking, okay, you know, 85 plus, like in your head, like I'm just saying, like me as a basic consumer, not knowing what you do. But then you've got the Free Britney movement. I mean, it's been big in the media. It was on the Daily today. They're still discussing it. And she's nowhere near that age. So this whole guardianship thing. The movie, which I know you said that you haven't watched, but it's on Netflix. You need to see it. It's called I Care a Lot.
Okay.
And it basically is about a guardian of the state who takes advantage of people. And she preys on people that don't have family members and have money. and how the fraud begins and how she basically rips them out of their home and they're in a state assisted thing. Now, I'm sure a lot of it is exaggerated.
Right.
But the gist of it is like, oh, my God, could that happen to me?
Right. Or that it exists.
And that right. it exists. Like, I didn't right. even know that this could possibly
correct.
Exist.
Right.
So I was like, I'm thinking to myself, do I have all my papers in order?
Right, exactly.
You know, and I think that's important. So I want to know a little bit about this whole guardianship thing. And then let's talk about tips for different age groups.
Perfect. Good. Great idea.
So tell me about the guardianship okay. stuff.
So guardianship has progressed in Florida over the past, I'll say, 15 years. Prior to that, pretty much the statute stayed the same for a very long time because there weren't a lot of cases that actually went on appeal, which is when the legislature really gets a hold of the information that something's wrong in the statute or something happened that the court couldn't decide because there wasn't direction in the mm-hmm. statute. Mm-hmm. So the guardianship laws in Florida are now geared towards more helping the person that's in the guardianship. That person is called the ward.
Okay.
Okay. They have a lot of rights in Florida, mm-hmm. unlike California, where the Brittany thing started. Okay.
Oh, okay. Very so different states have different.
Correct.
See, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. Now I do.
Right.
Okay.
And so if you're in a guardianship because you cannot function and take care of your own financial affairs or make mm-hmm. good decisions about yourself, and a good decision is not, I don't want that medical treatment. That's not what the kind of decision we're talking about. It's, I'm just not going to bathe and I'm not going to, you know, take care of my house, and I'm going to do lots of things that are
not going to pay my bills,
exactly.
not go to the doctor, all of that type of stuff.
That are, you know, detrimental to the person. Mm-hmm. But you can decide, I don't want that treatment. I don't, you know, I don't want to have the vaccine, for example. That's my decision.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
and a guardian cannot force that. However, if you're making decisions like, oh, every time a roofing company calls, oh, I need a new roof, it's because you forgot. You just signed a contract a month ago for a new roof. Mm. So they're called vulnerable adults.
Okay.
It's not an age, but it's generally 60, but it's definitely, it's not really necessarily an age.
Okay.
It could be someone that's disabled mm-hmm. With, you know, mental faculties that are less than, that are really required to function in this world. And those people can be subject to a guardianship for making decisions that are detrimental to themselves, harmful physically, or they threaten to harm others because something's mm-hmm. wrong with their mental ability to understand that there's a consequence mm-hmm. to that.
So is that would that be similar to the Brittany story then?
Yes. So okay. she was in a downward spiral,
right.
wasn't able to function as an adult to manage her affairs, so they filed a guardianship over her. The downfall in that case, from my point of view, mm-hmm. is people did and still are taking advantage of it and mm-hmm. making a lot of money from her
mm-hmm.
and yet not giving her the ability to have her rights
yeah.
restored, her capacity declared
right.
back in her favor.
Yeah.
And most of the people that are young, mm-hmm. that have a situation, whatever that situation may be,
right.
can come out of it with proper medication treatments, you know, mm-hmm. therapy, rehab, mm-hmm. and all the things that you would do for yourself if you're
right.
making good decisions for yourself. But people with memory loss, mm-hmm. dementia, Alzheimer's, those kinds of diseases that right. you're never going to recover from,
yeah.
if they don't have effective estate planning documents in place,
right.
or all of those people in those documents are ill or pass away,
mm.
then what happens is a guardianship is probably more appropriate for them because if they're not making proper decisions for themselves. So anybody could file a guardianship and ask the court to determine that that person is incapacitated and have a guardian appointed for them.
So, okay, so I'm going to go back to the movie because that's like my only reference right
sure.
now. So like a doctor was working with the guardian.
Right.
And of course it was, you know, the scam,
right.
you know,
right.
they were like, let's pick this
yes.
person. And
right.
they literally did what you said. It was
right.
like the doctor wrote a note. They went to the court.
Right.
Lady wasn't there. Boom. They went. They knocked on her door. They're like, hey,
right.
you're coming with me. You're now state of the ward. She was 70 years old.
Right.
And did not have full
right.
dementia, like a
right.
little bit of confusion.
Sure. Right. And
which,
that happens with
know,
age. Right.
Exactly.
Or,
this
or
is why.
Any day of the week.
This is why
I
was a little concerned. I was
right.
like, whoa, wait a minute. What's happening here? So, you know, I think that, you know, this is an important thing to discuss. So if I am, let's start a little bit younger. Let's just say, you know, I'm in between the 25-35-year-old age, right?
Right.
Are there things at that age that I should be doing to protect myself, protect my assets, or helping my, you know, just what would you advise to that age group?
So anybody with, that's an adult, has an estate. So they own something. That's an asset. That's considered an estate.
When you if they don't own a home?
It doesn't matter. They might own a bicycle.
Is debt considered a estate?
Well, it's a liability, but
no.
But you might have a bicycle or a motorcycle or a car. That's still considered an asset that you want to make sure you're providing to somebody. If you do not have a will in place, by statute, the statutes control where these assets go if you die without a spouse or a child. Okay? So it goes up to the parents. If there aren't parents alive, it goes out to your siblings. If you don't have siblings or they're deceased but they have children, it goes down to their children. Okay?
Okay.
But the problem with all of that is a minor cannot inherit without a guardianship. So there's elderly guardianships and minor guardianships.
Okay.
So that's we'll leave that there for now. Yeah. Okay. As a 25 to 35-year-old, you should have at least a will in place to direct where your assets go.
Okay.
Review the beneficiaries of bank accounts. If you have life insurance, who the beneficiaries are, making sure you have contingent beneficiaries so that if your primary beneficiary passes, then you have someone else that'll go to designate that.
Right.
And then you all should designate in a separate document what's called a pre-need guardian. You should do it for yourself, your spouse should do it, and you should do it for your minor children.
Pre-need?
It's called a pre-need guardian. Okay. You're naming a guardian to take care of your affairs if you're unable to take care of them yourself. Mm-hmm. It's especially effective for a minor. So your parents, you have a minor child, you both agree that when you both pass, if something, you're in the same car accident, the child survives, that what relative or friend or neighbor or trusted advisor is going to be the person that has custody of that child till age 18. And then do planning, maybe a trust for that child so that it doesn't go through a guardianship process. A minor in the state of Florida, and it's different in all states, cannot inherit property worth more than $15,000 without the court getting involved.
Oh, wow.
So if you have a life insurance policy that you've named your minor child as beneficiary, come see me or a good estate planning attorney that can set up a minor's trust for that child to avoid the cost of a guardianship.
Okay.
Right. So young, always have a will and a pre-need guardian.
Okay.
And that really does apply for everybody as you age.
Right.
As an older person, identify who is going to take care of your financial affairs through a power of attorney. And it's effective immediately upon signing. So if you have four kids and one of them is like a ne'er-do-well and doesn't understand, the value of a dollar, you don't designate them to be your agent.
Right.
You designate the trusted person. They are in a position of fiduciary responsibilities to you.
Okay.
But once they take the money and spend it, how do you get it back? So that agent is a very trusted person. And then you name somebody that makes medical decisions when you cannot.
Okay.
Through a healthcare surrogate designation, or I use a power of attorney for that.
So then as you say you're 65 plus, I mean, obviously all of that, right? Is there anything else that should be in play?
Yes. So let's talk two scenarios. You're 65 and you have a special needs child, somebody that is not able to work for themselves. You want to set up a third-party special needs trust for that child to make sure when you pass away, what they inherit does not interfere with their government benefits. Because government benefits are resource-based. So if you have too many resources, you lose the benefits.
Okay.
The key to government benefits as you age is the medical aspect of it. Not necessarily what money you may receive from the government. It's that you get Medicaid health care, which is a very valuable asset to have when you don't have a lot of money to pay for medical care.
Right.
Because you can't pay for insurance when you have some physical needs.
Super expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a person with a special needs child. Mm-hmm. The people that are when they're talking about 65-ish, mm-hmm. maybe even earlier, they should think about planning for long-term care insurance.
Okay.
As we live longer,
mm-hmm.
maybe we're going to be able to live in our home. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just need some money to help pay for those care providers to come into our home to, like, make sure that the house mm-hmm. is clean and there's nothing obstructing where I walk and I'm bathed and, you know, I'm making a simple meal, but someone needs to help me plan for my groceries and the like. So as you age, a long-term care insurance policy can help pay for that. And there's many versions of a long-term care insurance policies. Mm-hmm. So talk to your financial advisors, insurance agents about that. If you're unable to qualify for long-term care, mm-hmm. you could think about a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust.
Oh, I never heard of that one.
Which is a trust that I put my assets in. Mm-hmm. It's irrevocable, so I don't control it. Somebody else controls it for me.
Okay.
And if I need something, the assets inside that trust then are used to pay that vendor for that care. If I wait 5 years, that asset is considered no longer in existence for counting for Medicaid purposes. So it's a trust that's set up with the intent that you wait 5 years before you ever apply for Medicaid, whether there are benefits to pay for care in your home, pay for care in an assisted living facility, or pay for care in a nursing home if you have to go that far. But the idea is you're protecting those assets mm-hmm. from being counted from Medicaid application purposes.
Okay.
So the benefits are still available to you.
Correct.
Right.
And
right.
those assets then are considered non-existent. And there's some things that are exempt. Mm-hmm. Homes exempt up to about $630,000, and it goes up every year.
Okay.
IRAs are a special hybrid. They're not, the assets not counted. The income is, if you're required to be taking your required minimum distribution. So right now that's age 72. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of planning that goes involved. Yeah. And there's some little
lots
assets.
Of moving parts. Yeah.
Exactly. And so when you're talking about, mm-hmm. I think in the long run, I don't qualify for long-term care. There's nobody mm-hmm. that I can trust to come into my home to take care of me that I don't have to worry about paying or that could come home from their job and take care of me. Mm-hmm. Then what you end up looking at is you end up looking at what are my options for paying for long-term care.
Yeah.
Medicaid is one of them. Okay. And that's available to everybody as long as they plan financially. The other government benefit is a veterans, it's called a veterans pension benefit.
Does everybody know about this stuff?
No.
No, and I think, and I don't mean to jump in here, but I think for my age group being sub 40,
right?
We don't ever think about this stuff. And I think it doesn't really kick in until you get to like retirement age.
Correct.
And what you're saying is it might kind of be too late.
It can be. There's still planning. There's still options. It's just more expensive. That's what it comes down to. If you were to buy long-term care insurance at your age, mm-hmm. you're going to pay nothing for it. But your benefit will be better today, because as time goes on, the benefits gets tougher to obtain and less benefits available, okay? So 10 years ago, mm-hmm. you could buy a lifetime benefit. Those policies are no longer available because the insurance industry realized that was bad for them.
Right, because they're not making money off of it.
Exactly, exactly. And the insurance industry is always very creative when it comes to filling that niche and figuring out what policy can be bought. Yeah. So I'm very in favor of looking at the insurance agency from an eye of, okay, you're buying something to protect for a risk. Mm. That's what you're doing. You're deciding to use your dollars to protect against a potential risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the long run, you know, there's options. But in the short run, you might not have a lot of options. So if you're not a veteran that has served during wartime, doesn't have to be in combat.
Okay.
But if you're not one of those veterans that served during wartime, the veterans benefit is not available to you.
Right.
You could be a veteran, but you have had to have served one day, generally, while our country was at war.
Oh.
So for the past 20 years, we've had a war.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
All those, as long as they're 65 or totally disabled and have planned for it, because again, it's a resource-based benefit.
Right.
You can do some planning for it. Sometimes there's a 3-year look back period for veterans, but again, it depends on asset levels and the like. And that's a that's a conversation that you can have with anybody that does veterans benefits planning, to be able to know what you can have, what qualifies you, and what benefit you might obtain. And the surviving spouses of veterans have half the benefit that their veteran spouse, if they died, would get.
Only half.
Okay. Divided in half. Because they're trying to benefit the veteran, but they're still providing for the surviving spouse.
Okay.
And there's some other benefits as well, but that's generally what it talks about. And only 17% of our veterans that would qualify to obtain a benefit actually get the benefit, actually apply for and get the benefit.
Because they just don't know about it?
They do not know, or they're discouraged from applying, because it does require, if you have more than $130,000 in assets, plus a home and a car, if you have more than that, you have to give away the assets to it. Well, you should give it away to a trust.
Right.
But that's what I recommend. But if you're giving up control. My dad, two-time wartime, you know, veteran, no, I'm not giving up control.
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
That's the hurdle.
Yeah, that is a hurdle.
It is a hurdle.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, I'm not giving up control. I want to decide.
Yeah.
Because you really cannot. You cannot tell the trustee of that trust what to do with the money.
Yeah. So, I mean, that generation, I mean, my dad, this, you're going to laugh at this scenario. So when I was probably 16, and my parents used to travel a lot because he worked for a big corporation, and this was their way of protecting. Which is not recommended.
Does this have anything to do with the mafia?
No.
Uncle Nunzio.
Good Lord. Damn. No. But we were living out of state from all of our relatives, and they were getting ready to go somewhere, and they were like, okay, because I was the oldest. Anything happens to us, this is what I was told to do. You get your brother and your sister, and you get on a plane, because I already knew how to make my own airline reservations at that point. It's like, you got the money, you get on the plane, you do not ask anybody. You just get to the airport, call a taxi, get to the airport, drive yourself, whatever. Get to the airport, get on a plane to Philly, and go to your aunt's house. That was it.
Wow.
That was it.
Right.
And she'll know what to do. Oh. But get out of the state.
Wow.
Was the only thing he knew. Yeah. He was like, you have to get out of the state, because if you don't, the state's going to come in. So you don't call anybody.
Wow.
You just get on the plane and you go. That was what I was told to do at 16. Can you imagine? I was praying the whole time. Oh, my God, I hope they come back.
Right. Sure. Yeah, not an effective plan.
Not an effective plan.
And a scary thought for you.
Right. Yeah. Right. But, I mean, that was how I was raised.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Right. Exactly. Well, but that was their mindset. Right. So
they didn't know anything about estate planning. Right. They weren't guided that way.
Correct. Then. And so my dad, I'm the fourth of five. When 1964, there was one more child that was going to be born a year later. He created a revocable trust because he knew something happened to him as the breadwinner.
Well, your dad was smart. I mean, he knew that stuff.
But he also dealt with lawyers all the time as the owner of a business.
Okay.
So he was exposed to lawyers recommending, you should have a trust to protect your family.
Okay.
That's how he knew to do it.
Okay.
And that plan is still in place. My mom, 16 years after my dad died, that trust is still helping to pay for her care.
Wow.
She's 97 in November.
Wow.
That's an effective
estate
plan.
He was given some great advice.
He was, definitely given. Mm-hmm. And he had life insurance and the like, but over the years, the trust was modified, because as the children got older, my mom then really needed more of the assets than the kids did. But there were provisions for education, provisions for, you know, if they needed to borrow money to buy a home, buy a business, to encourage them to be on their own instead of going, mom, dad, I want money. It was a very evolving plan. Mm-hmm. I look at an estate plan as a living, breathing plan.
Okay.
Because as people move in and out of your life, you have, let's say you name your sister and she's 3 years older than you are as your personal representative. Mm-hmm. And she gets sick.
Right.
Well, you certainly don't want her to serve as the personal representative. You already know it's bad.
Yeah.
So then you want to have a plan.
Updated.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can have as many alternates as you want. Mm-hmm. So it's very effective. But you could also talk to your estate planner and say, look, this is what happened, especially 75 and older, there are going to be people that are going to be leaving your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you're talking with your estate planning attorney on a regular basis.
Yeah. This is really good advice. I think, you know, I think people just don't know enough about it.
Right.
So they don't know who to go to unless they have somebody in their family or a friend of the family saying, you need to go have this done.
Correct.
Right. So if somebody's listening today and they're like, okay, where do I start? What do I do? Am I even going to afford to be able to talk to somebody like Anne?
Right.
Like, do you have like certain packages or approach that you, you know, okay, this age group, I start you here.
Right.
And then you move here. And then
right.
maybe you have elderly parents and they go here.
Right.
So is it something that anybody can come and do and talk to you about?
Anybody can come and talk to me about what they need. I provide a free consultation. Mm-hmm. And then we sit down with them. We kind of go over what they own and where they want these assets to go.
Okay.
If they're disabled, and then mm-hmm. upon death. So do they want to protect the spouse and then provide for the children? Do they want to have a combination of things mm-hmm. depending on the needs? Like a special needs child, you don't want them inheriting outright.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could do a will package or a trust package. It really depends on what they want and how much control they want when they pass.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they have children that are married and those in-laws, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I refer to as outlaws, you know, saying, hey, honey, you've done this for daddy. You should get all the money.
This is the Italian side coming
yes,
out.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yes. So I look at them as going, there could potentially be predators against your estate. There's creditors. And then there's predators. And the predators are those, the ones that are mm-hmm. trying to get all the money because they believe yeah. they deserve it.
Right.
And so there's protections you can put in place for that.
Okay.
And then what I also do is I try to look at the assets that we're protecting, mm-hmm. one. And two, if they can't afford to pay me all at once, pay me on a payment plan. Look okay. at me as somebody that you just pay to every month. Your documents are done and signed. Mm-hmm. You have an effective estate plan. I just know you're going to pay me. Because if I've offered that, mm-hmm. I've done a good job of getting their plan in place,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to pay me. I've not ever been stiffed by somebody that I've done an estate plan for, mm-hmm. and then they haven't paid it. Many of them going, I'll just pay it off now, you know, I'll
yeah.
just pay it off now. I owe, you know, four more payments. I'll just pay it off now,
yeah.
because they appreciate the fact that I've offered that.
Right, right. So top three pearls of wisdom today.
Top three pearls of wisdom. Mm-hmm. When it comes to estate planning, mm-hmm. list out your assets
okay.
and how they're titled. So you have a bank account. You own it with your spouse. Who are the beneficiaries? So you've
okay.
listed, I own a bank account at this bank. This is the title of it. Not so much concerned about the value at this
mm-hmm.
point. Who owns it and where is it going to go at passing?
Okay.
Then at least you know what estate plan you have in place
mm-hmm.
because that contract at that bank is going to govern where those mm-hmm. assets go at death. They don't mm-hmm. go through the will.
If they go to who's listed on
correct.
It.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. Just like it's like a life insurance
yep.
policy. The beneficiary yep. gets the assets. The other thing that you want to consider, if you are a high wealth individual, and high wealth in terms of what Congress is doing right now as far as playing with our estate tax,
mm-hmm.
inheritance tax, and
mm-hmm.
income tax code.
That's another whole segment, by
oh,
the way.
Oh, totally, totally. Yes, I just listen every day to the morning news about
mm-hmm.
what they're talking about today. And so if you have more than together,
mm-hmm.
including your death benefit value of your life insurance, the death
mm-hmm.
benefit, not the cash surrender,
mm-hmm.
if you have a home and that's a rising value,
mm-hmm.
if you have a very high-end IRA, and all that amounts to $7 million or more
mm-hmm.
as a couple,
mm-hmm.
$3.5 million as an individual, because
okay.
that's what they're looking to reduce it to, from
okay.
11.7 down to 3.5.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And so you want to look at that. Look
mm-hmm.
at the values.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then talk to an estate planning attorney that understands
yeah.
the income tax consequences of that, because that's the other aspect of what Congress is changing right now.
Right, because you don't want to work your whole life.
Correct.
You leave something to your kids, and then
right.
they're like, half of it goes to
right, it gets
taxes.
Taken away from them.
Correct,
that's
correct.
Horrible.
So there are a lot of planning techniques that estate mm-hmm. planning attorneys can use.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final thing is, where are you in this age group? Are you in a position where you have long-term care? If not, then you want to consider maybe thinking about protecting assets. So at least they can be used for your benefit. If you never apply for Medicaid, if you do not qualify for a veteran's benefit, at least you know the asset is there. It's going to be used for your benefit while you're alive. And then when you pass, it's going to go through that trust to whomever you designate. So there's basically a couple different groups of ages that you want to think about. Okay, I'm 65, and you should think about whether I qualify health-wise for long-term care. Is it affordable? If you get in your 50s, a lot more affordable.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That's when I started. Mm-hmm. And then as you age, what is my plan for long-term care? Do I have somebody to take care of me? Mm-hmm. Is there somebody that can come home from their job or already home and can be in my home caring for me? Or can I move to in with my kids? So lots of things
lots
to
of
think
things,
about.
A lot to think about.
Yes.
What would somebody say is very extra about you?
Gosh, very extra about me.
Something nobody knows.
Or it could be something everyone knows.
Something.
We're just learning it today.
Okay. I will tell you something extra about me. So in 2008, I created a company called Sportstructors.
Okay.
Sportstructors is a concept that I came up with a friend of mine who are we're very into sports.
Okay.
We could actually, I believe, coach or manage a team. Okay.
I believe this too.
Yes, yes. I mean, there are many people on this earth that go, why do you know that statistic? I don't know. I just do. Okay. And so I teach many women haven't had the opportunity like I've had to grow up with sports.
Okay.
So they don't see the rules and how a football game is played. They don't understand what a fumble is and, you know,
I get this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I teach women and foreigners. Interesting enough, because they don't know American football. They know it as soccer.
Right, right.
They don't know American basketball.
Okay.
They don't know American baseball, except for Japan. Japan knows that well.
Okay.
And they don't know ice hockey, except for, you know, some countries, you know, Canada and some of the northern countries in Europe have know that.
So did you start this company?
I started this company in 2008, and I teach women. And I was traveling around the country in 2008, and then the economic recession hit, so I stopped traveling around. But I was going to chambers, and I was saying, hey, let me come in and talk about, you know, this is a concept. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then the fifth thing I do is talk about golf etiquette, because we have 10 tournaments in our backyard for golf. Mm-hmm. Great place to network. A fabulous place to go, enjoy a day, have a beer, a glass of wine, whatever, watch some great golf.
Yeah.
But be on the golf course, be outside, and take a friend and go, hey, you know, we're talking about expanding our company. Are you interested? Yeah. Blah, 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 you know, whatever. But they have to know the rules of etiquette. They have to know that when they put the quiet sign up, please be quiet.
Yeah, don't talk. Yeah.
So
what to wear.
And what to wear. Yeah. And so I always joke with women, you don't have to play the game of golf. You just have to look good on the golf course.
That's so true.
That's me. I'm not a great golfer, but I love
me neither.
And I have great outfits.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier about playing golf, and I said, I don't think anybody actually plays golf. We just call it whack-a-ball.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's how I play.
Yes.
So, last question.
Yes.
What would you tell your 21-year-old self?
I would tell my 21-year-old self, take a breath every single time a crisis comes, because you're going to get through it, girl. It's going to, in the end, it's all going to work out. I can remember stressing at my first trial. I was so overprepared. I think I could have, like, recited the evidence code to that judge. But I was so stressed by believing I didn't know anything. When really I did.
Yeah, you were overprepared.
I was overprepared.
Yeah.
Take a breath and just move forward. That's what I would tell my 21-year-old self.
I like it. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Joe.
That's it for this week's episode. Show us some love on social media at Wisdom and Extra, where you can find behind-the-scenes sneak peeks, upcoming episodes, and links to all of our guests. Be sure to subscribe, leave us your comments, and stay extra.